Let God transform your life as you listen to this inspiring sermon by Reverend Richard C. Whitcomb.
On December 9th last year, Evelyn Topper stopped at a coffee shop near her home in Mill Valley, California. She pulled out her wallet, bought two drinks, and tucked her wallet back inside her pocket. But when she got home, her wallet was nowhere to be found. Somewhere between the coffee shop and her home, her wallet had fallen out of her pocket and gone missing. Evelyn was frantic. Her wallet contained her bank card, some cash, and her driver's license. She searched everywhere, but the wallet was nowhere to be found. As Evelyn was searching for her wallet, a 57-year-old homeless man named Sean Curry was sifting through a rubbish dumpster outside of the coffee shop Evelyn had just visited. Sean had fallen on hard times. He had nowhere to live, and he often was forced to search through rubbish dumpsters to try to find food to eat. But as Sean Curry searched for food that day, he spotted a small floral pouch. He picked it up and discovered it was a woman's wallet filled with bank cards and cash. For a moment, Sean thought about using the cards and the cash inside for himself. But then he made a decision that would change his life. Sean decided to return the wallet and all of its contents to the rightful owner. Sean found Evelyn's phone number inside the wallet and called her. Evelyn quickly rushed to meet Sean, and he handed everything back to her. In gratitude, Evelyn gave Sean a small amount of cash. But the story doesn't end there. When Evelyn told her family about Sean Curry, they decided to do more to help him. So Evelyn's family started a fundraiser to help provide Sean with a place to stay and to give him the capital he needed to get a new start in life. As of last week, Evelyn's family has raised over $32,000 in donations for Sean Curry to start a new life. What began with the return of a lost wallet has turned into a life-changing new start for Sean Curry. Everything changed when he returned the wallet to its rightful owner. There's a powerful lesson for all of us in the amazing true story of Sean Curry. You see, we're all holding something that doesn't really belong to us. Our lives don't belong to us. God is the rightful owner of all we have and all we are. And when we come to God and give Him what rightfully belongs to Him, it opens up overwhelming blessings to us. In fact, when you give yourself to the rightful owner, heaven gives you everything you need for a new start in life. When you see that all you are and all you have rightfully belongs to God, you will surrender as a living sacrifice. There will be a new you in the new year, and it will be the best you and the best year ever. That's the powerful lesson in our sermon today. We're going to discover the steps any one of us can take today to return our lives to the rightful owner and unleash the powerful blessings of God. But before we go further, let's bow our heads and pray. Almighty and everlasting Father, we thank you for everything you've given to us, for all that you've done for us. You've given us life and health. You've given us salvation and love. We thank you for your mighty mercies and blessings. And it's only right and it's only reasonable that we should come to you now and return our lives to you as living sacrifices. Help us today to see the steps we can take to discover the path of pursuing your will for our lives and giving you what will please you. We submit to you now. We bind every voice of the enemy that would come to deceive or disturb or distract us. And in the name of the Lord Jesus, I loose the power of the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts and give us the truth and the grace we need to live for you. We thank you today by faith in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I want to invite you to take a moment and join your faith with mine right now. Just put your hand on your chest and say after me, Lord Jesus, speak to my heart. Change my life. Manifest your glory in me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to today's broadcast. Thank you so much for joining me as we continue our sermon series titled Living Sacrifice. We're starting off the new year with a new commitment to the Lord as we learn the truths about how to give God what He really wants. So before we dive into today's truth, let's take a moment to review what we've learned so far. We began this series with a call from God to give ourselves to Him as a living sacrifice. when we understand how great God's mercy is to us, it motivates us to surrender our lives to God. And when we become a living sacrifice, we take the first step to a life that pleases God. And that took us into the second sermon in the series, where we discovered the truth about pleasing God. For the fact is, pleasing God is possible for every one of us. God has a plan for you and I to please Him. But it's not the way we think. We have to give up our own ways of trying to please God and find out what He really wants from us. And the truth is, God wants all of us to be just like Jesus. We please God when we become just like Jesus. But becoming just like Jesus requires that we change. On our own, we can never be like Jesus. So last week, we learned how to be changed in the sermon, Give Me Some Change. We have to let God change us on the inside. We must choose to let Him change us internally by changing the way we think. And that brings us to today. When you choose to let God change you on the inside by changing the way you think, it will always result in a new you. And there's a new you in this new year when you make the choice to accept God's thinking and let God change you. But what are the specific changes that need to come in our thinking? What needs to change in you for you to please God? Well, that's what we're going to find out in our sermon titled, A New You in the New Year. Our scripture text for today is found in Romans 12:3. We're moving a little bit deeper into Romans chapter 12. So today we're going to focus on verses 3 to 10. And let's begin by reading verse 3 out loud together. Are you ready? It's on your screen. It's on your notes. But let's put it in our mouths right now. Here we go. 3, 2, 1, go. Don't think that you are better than you really are. You must see yourself just as you are. Decide what you are by the faith God has given each of us. May the Lord bless the reading of His word to your hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. As we move deeper into Romans 12, let's begin by reminding ourselves of the context of this verse. Paul is talking about being a living sacrifice. He's talking about giving God what He wants, a life that is good and pleasing and perfect. And Paul has told us that in order to do that, we have to change our thinking. But now Paul gets specific. Here in verse 3, he tells us exactly what needs to change in our thinking. And surprisingly, the first change in our thinking to enable us to please God is that we must change our thinking about our own lives. In order to live a life pleasing to God, you have to see yourself properly. When you get a new view of you, you'll get a new you. So let's break down this passage and discover three steps to a new you in the new year. And here's your first step today. You need a new perspective. Everybody say that with me, a new perspective. In order to have a new you in the new year, you need a new perspective about your own life. You have to possess the right view about who you are and where you fit into the world around you. You have to see yourself truly as you are, nothing more, nothing less, and nothing else. That's why our text says, don't think that you are better than you really are. You must see yourself just as you are. And the problem for most of us today is that we all think of ourselves more highly than we ought to. Paul hits the core problem in all of humanity, for all over the world and all throughout time, man has always considered himself more important than he really is. All of mankind, for all time, has possessed an elevated view of himself. A simple drive through any major city today reveals just how man views himself. It seems today that driving has become a competition. Everyone is always trying to push past the next person. We're all rushing to get ahead, forcing our way forward because we consider ourselves more important than anyone else on the road. We want the road to clear for us because our agenda and our purposes are more important. And this same attitude is repeated in cities all over the world. No matter where you go, you will encounter the selfishness and pride of man on full display when you drive. But whether you like it or not, the truth is the world does not revolve around you. Life is not about you. Man is not the center of the universe. God is the founder and creator of all things, and He's the rightful owner of everything and everyone. And no matter how great you are or how great your achievements, to get a true view of you, you have to put your life in context. You have to see yourself as God sees you and how you fit into his plan. For the truth is, he is God and I am not. For Isaiah 45, 5 to 7 says, I am the Lord, there is no other God. I am the Lord and there is no other. I create the light and make the darkness. He is the creator and I am his creation. For Psalm 100, verse 3 says, acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. For he is the owner and I am his possession. Isaiah 43, 7 says, bring to me all the people who are mine, the people who have my name. I made them for myself. I made them and they are mine. And we were created by God. He's the Lord, the creator, and the owner of all things. So don't think you are more important than you really are. Don't exalt yourself and your needs or your life above what you should. See yourself just as you are. You're a mortal human being created by God for his glory and not your glory. You're a servant of the Most High God, and the aim of your life is to please him. That's the lesson we can learn from Jerome Boateng and the football club Bayern Munich. In 2012, Bayern Munich had an amazing year as they won every competition they entered. They won the DFL Super Cup, the Bundesliga, the European Cup, and the DFB Pokal to become the first German club in men's football to win the treble. In fact, Bayern Munich set records for most points in a season, most wins in a season, and fewest goals conceded in a season. Indeed, 2012 was the best year ever. It was almost perfect. Almost, but not. A critical mistake in a crucial match against rivals Bayer Leverkusen cost Bayern Munich a perfect season. On October 28th, they lost their only Bundesliga match of the year when Jerome Boateng scored an own goal. Boateng's own goal cost his team a record-breaking unbeaten season. And in his tragic misstep, there's a lesson for all of us today. You see, you may be living a great life. You may be successful on every level. You may be off to a great start in 2021. But just like Jerome Boateng found out, you can spoil a perfectly good year by aiming at the wrong goal. Now, Jerome Boateng is a very talented player, and Bayern Munich is a great team. But at the end of the day, all your efforts, all your talents, all your skills, all your abilities are meaningless if you're aiming for the wrong goal. All your success and riches and fame and power and position and pleasure mean nothing if it is all aimed at your own goals. If you're pursuing anything for your purpose or your pleasure or your glory, you're going to end up scoring an own goal. It won't help you win in life. It actually works against you. You have to aim at the right goal. Life is not about you. It's about God. Life is not for your glory. It's for God's glory. A living sacrifice has no motive other than pleasing God. A true disciple has no goal other than God's happiness. That's why the Bible commands us in 1 Corinthians 10:31, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. So here's the truth you need to pack up and take home with you today. A new you requires a new motive. And this is the problem with the church today. This is what's wrong with Christians in 2021. Our motives are all wrong. We do the right things with the wrong motives. We're focused on the right actions for the wrong reasons. We're aiming at the wrong goal. We think the world is centered around us and our needs rather than centering our world around God and his commands. We want God to follow us rather than us following him. We believe that Jesus exists to meet our needs and our desires rather than existing to please him as a living sacrifice. And 90% of the teaching and preaching and so-called prophesying today is all about us and our needs and our desires and our progress and our victory and our success and our dreams and our happiness. It's all about me. But if you're a born-again child of God, you don't exist for your own happiness. You exist for the glory and honor of God Almighty. If you're a true follower of Jesus Christ, you don't exist and you can't live for your own progress in life. A true follower of Jesus Christ must die to self and surrender to God. For in Luke 9:23, Jesus said, if any of you, anybody in any country or any culture, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must. It's not optional. You must. I command you to give up your own way. Take up your cross daily and follow me. It's heartbreaking to see how we become so self-centered. We're consumers rather than God-centered givers. We have itching ears and we always want to hear what pleases us. We run after so-called prophets who tell us what we want to hear, who see what we want to see, but we despise men who preach the truth of God's word. We're eager for someone to tell us a vision, but we don't even take time for the word of God. And the Bible clearly told us this would happen. What we're seeing today would come to pass. God warned us about this generation and our carnal Christianity. Listen to Paul's warning in 2 Timothy 4, 3-5. For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and chase after myths. And this is a clear description of many church members today. Listen to the advice Paul then gives us in the next verse, verse 5. But you should keep a clear mind in every situation. In other words, don't be led astray by the sinful and selfish error of others. Don't follow the crowd to chase after false prophets. Stop centering your faith around your own interests and start centering your faith around Jesus. We need to repent. We need revival. We need to return our lives to the rightful owner and lay our lives down as a living sacrifice for Jesus. For our Christianity today has become me-centered. It's all about me, what God can do for me, how my life can be blessed, my promotion, my anointing, my blessing, my gift, my popularity. And this is the main problem in churches today. Everybody is out for his own way. Even pastors and church leaders have entered into ministry for earthly gain rather than spiritual treasures. Men today see ministry as a means of promotion and power and possessions. Our pastors today are like those that the prophet Isaiah wrote about in Isaiah 56:11. The shepherds don't know what they're doing. They have all wandered away. They are greedy. All they want is to satisfy themselves. Today, men of God battle for prominence and position. Who has the biggest church? Who has the biggest car? Who has the biggest name? Who has the biggest follower? Everybody's a prophet or an apostle or the great one. But that's the opposite of Jesus and the New Testament church. Paul called himself a slave of Jesus Christ. Peter called himself a slave of Jesus Christ. James called himself a slave of Jesus Christ. And instead of puffing themselves up, they poured their lives out. Instead of pursuing worldly wealth, they gave themselves to Christ in devotion. Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:6, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. And remember that Jesus did not amass wealth in his time on earth. He poured himself out for us. He became poor that we might be rich. And we're supposed to follow his example and be just like Jesus. But I don't think Jesus and the early apostles would recognize the type of Christianity we practice today. The New Testament church focused on sacrifice, but today's church focuses on success. The New Testament church focused on praying for God to save the lost souls, but today's church focuses on praying fire on our enemies. The New Testament church was known for its love. Today's church is known for competition between prophets. A pastor came to me recently and told me he wanted to advance his career in ministry. He was looking for the way forward for progress in his ministerial career. But friends, if you are focused on how to advance your career in ministry, then you're in the wrong career. Ministry is not a career, it's a calling. And if you want to climb the ladder of success, go get a job in the bank. Jesus gave us the path to success in ministry. He said in Mark 9:35, whoever wants to be first must take last place and be the servant of everyone. Jesus made it clear, to move up in life, you have to go down. To be more important, you have to be less seen. To be more rewarded, you have to be less rich. To be more elevated, you have to be more empty. We need a new perspective. We need to stop thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought to. We need to see ourselves just as we are, servants of the Creator, the Most High God. He's God, I'm not. He's Lord, I'm His servant. He's the owner, I'm His possession. And all I have and all I am belongs to Him. And I exist for His glory and His honor and His praise and His pleasure. My purpose in life is not to serve my own success, but to serve Him. And this brings us to our second step, to a new you, a new purpose. Everybody say a new purpose. Listen to how Romans 12 continues in verses 5 and 6. We are many people, but in Christ we are all one body. We are the parts of that body, and each part belongs to all the others. We all have different gifts. Each gift came because of the grace God gave us. See, once you embrace a new perspective, you will understand that you have a new purpose. If your life exists for the glory of God, then you have a part to play in bringing Him glory on earth. If you exist for His happiness, then you have to do the things that will bring Him joy. And in fact, that's exactly what God intends. He's placed within each and every one of us a gift, which He intends for us to use for His purpose. See, friends, you were made for a purpose. You were made to serve, to give, and to minister. You were made to contribute, not just to consume. God put you here to make a difference. That's why in life it doesn't really matter how long you live. What matters is how you live. It's not the duration of your life that's important. It's the donation of your life that matters. You've been saved for a purpose. That's why 2 Corinthians 5:18 says, "And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to Himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to Him." And God is telling us something powerful here today. God has given you a gift. What is that gift? It's the gift of salvation. He brought you back. He redeemed you. He lifted you up from the pit and gave you a second chance. And then He states plainly that the purpose of that second chance is for you to go and do for others what God has done for you. Call them back. Bring them back. God brought you back to Him so you could bring others back to Him. God returned your life to its rightful owner so He could use you to reconcile others to Him. But listen to the warning in 2 Corinthians 6:1. As God's partners, we beg you not to accept this marvelous gift of God's kindness and then ignore it. Don't accept this gift of salvation and then ignore it. Don't allow God's grace to be in vain in your life. If you've been given a second chance, use it the way you should to give others a second chance as well. For God's investment in you is for you to invest in others. That's a powerful lesson we can learn from a man named Scott Harrison. In 2003, Scott Harrison was living in New York City and working as a nightclub and party promoter. His days and nights were filled with drugs and drinking, beautiful women and riches. It led to a life that looked good on the outside, but was rotting on the inside. In fact, today Scott Harrison says, "If I continued down this path, there was a good chance I would die before 40. And then Scott had an awakening. He had been raised as a Christian as a child, but his life as a nightclub promoter had taken him far from God. But now, facing his own bankrupt soul, Scott made a U-turn. Instead of living for his own pleasure and passion, Scott returned his life to God, the rightful owner. He sold his goods, quit his job, and set sail on the Mercy Ship, a Christian charitable ministry that brings medical care and help to the poor all over the world. Scott spent 2 years ministering in Liberia, and then he started a group called Charity Water, an organization that brings clean water to millions of people around the globe. Since it began in 2006, Charity Water has funded more than 30,000 clean water projects in 26 countries, giving nearly 10 million people access to clean water. When Scott returned his life to its rightful owner, he stopped living for himself and started pursuing a new purpose. And the results have changed 10 million lives. You may not have that same call, but you do have a call. We all have a call. We all have a gift. That's why 1 Peter 2:9 says, "But you are a chosen people, royal priests, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. You were chosen to tell about the wonderful acts of God who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." And I'm here to declare to you today, you've been called and chosen by God to represent him and to tell of his wonderful works. You've been chosen by God to do good works for his glory. For Ephesians 2:10 tells us, God has made us what we are. In Christ Jesus, God made us to do good works, which God planned in advance for us to live our lives doing. And when we went astray and lost our way, God brought us back and saved us. He did this not just for our sakes, but so that he could use us. That's why 2 Timothy 1:9 says, "It is he who saved us and chose us for his holy work, not because we deserved it, but because that was his plan." And when we obey God and pursue his purpose and move into the realm of the miraculous, we see supernatural events come to pass. When we give ourselves to the mission, we shift into the realm of the supernatural. For when you obey God, God moves and you will enter a zone where anything is possible. In fact, Jesus gave all of us this command in Matthew 10:8. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you've received, freely give. And I release unto you today who will surrender and follow to God the power and the anointing to heal the sick, to cast out demons, to raise the dead, and to go about proclaiming God's purposes in earth. Let's go after God's will. Let's get a new perspective on our lives. We're not on this earth for our own goals. We're here to do God's will. Let's aim for a new purpose in life, and let's pursue it in 2021 like never before. And that brings us to our third step to a new you, a new pursuit. Everybody say, a new pursuit. When you embrace who you are and what you're called to do, then you need to pursue it with zeal. That's why Romans 12:9 says, your love must be real. Hate what is evil. Do only what is good. And here's what that means for us today. In order to be all that God wants you to be, you have to love him in truth, not just in words. You have to be totally devoted to Jesus. You have to turn away from anything and everything that opposes the work of God in your life and devote yourself entirely to doing only his will. In other words, be single-minded in pursuit of God's purpose for your life. See, the fact that God has a purpose for your life doesn't mean it will automatically come to pass. Some people think that if God has willed it, then it will happen no matter what I do. But in actual fact, there are many examples in the Bible of people who had a purpose from God, but they didn't follow it. In some cases, they even knew God's purpose, but they still didn't achieve it. For example, Adam was called by God to be fruitful and multiply and take dominion, but he fell short. Samson was called to deliver Israel, but he ended up needing deliverance. Saul was called to lead Israel, but he went astray. I'll never forget one time I was preaching in Minnesota in the United States many years ago. When I finished preaching, an elderly woman came up to me. She had gray hair and wrinkles, and she was bent over. She told me something I've never forgotten. This is what she said. When I was a young lady, I was called by God to be a missionary just like you. I went to Bible school to prepare. But then a young man came along and asked me to marry him. I did. We had children. I got a job. Life took over, and the dream of going to be a missionary died in me. I never went. Now I'm old. My life is over. I never did God's will. And I can remember the look in her eyes, a look of a dream lost, a diamond lost, a life wasted. It's not enough for you to know you have a purpose. You have to pursue it this year. You have to go after it and devote yourself to it. And that's what God is calling us to do in 2021. I hear his Holy Spirit saying that there are many of us who've served God for many years. You knew there was more than what God had for you. You knew there was more than what you were experiencing, but you put it off. You've said, one day I'll get committed. One day I'll serve at church. One day I'll start to pay my tithe. One day I'll become more prayerful. But God is saying to you, this is the day, this is the year, this is the time to go all in for Jesus and pursue his purpose for your life. And it begins by practicing the daily disciplines that will produce growth and change in you so you can fulfill your purpose. That's why God tells us in Proverbs 10:17, whoever practices discipline is on the way to life. And the truth of the matter is, you cannot be a disciple of Jesus Christ without being disciplined. The two words go together. It takes discipline to be a disciple. It takes discipline to give up what is not important so that you can pursue what is important. That's why God commands us in 1 Timothy 4:7, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. So hear the word of the Lord to you today. Pursue the practices that produce change, and your life will change. If you'll put aside everything that is holding you back spiritually, you'll see transformation in your life. That's why Hebrews 12:1 says, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily hinders our progress. You have to strip off not only the sin, but also the things that are holding you back. You have to lay down every habit, every action, every relationship, every obstacle that will hold you back from pursuing God's purpose. It may be a bad thing. It may be a good thing. But if it's not a God thing, you need to let it go. For in life, some things are not necessarily wrong. They're just not necessary. So here's the truth you need to pack up and take home with you. To grow, you have to say no. In order to be a living sacrifice, you have to say no to the things that are not God's will. You have to say no to whatever or whoever will hold you back from living your life for His glory. You have to say no to even some good things if they get in the way of the God things you should be doing. For God is calling all His children this year to lay down our lives completely in surrender to Him. He's calling us to heed Romans 6:13. Give yourselves completely to God since you've been given new life. Use your whole body as a tool to do what is right for the glory of God. There's no verse in the Bible where it says you can be a Christian and do whatever you want with your life. There's no verse in the Bible that says you can be lukewarm or half-hearted about your purpose in life. It's just not there. God doesn't want 10% of your life. He doesn't want 50% of your life. He doesn't want 99% of your life. He wants all of your life, all of it. Give yourselves completely to God. But here's the amazing truth. When you give all your life to God, He gives all of Himself to you. When you put Him first in every area, you open up the heavens and receive an amazing outpouring of blessings on your life. When you return your life to its rightful owner, a new life opens up to you that is far richer, far better, and far more amazing than you could ever imagine. That's why Proverbs 3:6 says, in everything you do, put God first, and He will direct you and crown your efforts with success. There's a new you in this new year. It's available to any and to all of us who will answer the call to be a living sacrifice. It begins with a new perspective. Life is not about you, it's about God. Give yourself back to your rightful owner and let Him take control over every area of your life. When you do, you'll discover a new purpose. You'll discover that God created you to do good works. He created you to do amazing things in your life for Him and for others. And if you'll pursue your purpose from God this year with passion and devotion, you'll enter a new level of power, a new level of anointing. If you'll lay aside every sin and every weight that is holding you back, you'll experience a new outpouring of God's power and presence. You'll enter a new arena of favor and blessing. And there you will find a new you in the new year. Let me pray for you. Almighty and everlasting Father, we thank You for Your great mercy and grace poured out upon us. Thank You, Lord, that You've created us and we belong to You. Today, I ask You to give everyone who's watching and listening a new perspective. Help us to see our lives in the context of You and the world around us. For You are God, we are not. You are the Creator, we are Your servants. You are the owner, we are Your possession. And Lord, we come and surrender to You right now. We offer our lives as a living sacrifice. You've placed us here for a purpose. Let us see that purpose and pursue it with zeal and determination. Help us to set aside anything or everything that would keep us back or hold us back from fulfilling our purpose and pleasing you. I pray you'll speak to your people right now. Convict us of the areas we need to let go of as we come in surrender and lay our lives on the altar as a living sacrifice. We loose and release your power to move anew and afresh in us that we will become the people you've called us to be in this year. We thank you and we praise you now in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. The hope of
nations. God bless you for listening to this message. Reverend Richard C. Whitcomb is the senior pastor of Agape House New Testament Church in East Lagos. If you are ever in Accra, we would like you to worship with us on Saturday night at 6 p.m. or on Sunday at 7:30, 9:30, or 11:30 a.m. You will have an awesome experience. We're here.